Hey, thank you for listening to the Happy Days Project. Each episode will bring you a snippet of someone else's joy. Isn't joy a nice thing to be choosing to listen to? This excellent human has answered the question, what makes you happy? Let's hear what they had to say. I'll apologise in advance for the recording quality. It was a terrible internet connection, but we'd already tried and failed to do this interview once, so this time we carried on. I'm glad we did, because it means that this week I can bring you Olivia.
What makes me happy? What a lovely question, firstly. So many things make me happy, Lizzie. Speaking to you right now, the stars and the planets that are on your jumper make me happy.
Thanks so much. There's something else, aren't they? I told my mother for Christmas, you can get me something cool this year. And she got me this jumper with the solar system that's great, right?
I mean, we love a little bit of astrology, moon worship, don't we, at the moment, with our woo-woo, let's call it.
We super do. It's so nice. I mean, you were the one who really promoted the Saturn return concept to me, which I know.
This is the thing. I am very open to anything that means that things that are going wrong are out of my control, essentially. Some sort of explanation in a wider sense, a higher being. I love it. So, yeah, I feel like blaming the moon for most things, a bit of Mercury retrograde is perfect. That makes me happy. Also, very open to self-helpy, self-optimization things. All the self-care stuff that people bang on about, it's just so lovely. And any excuse to do it, any excuse to have a bath and to make these little routines for yourself, I think is really important. And I think that that does create happiness and it does create a sense of self-worth. And, you know, maybe buying some expensive face cream is self-care and that's okay. But yeah, I'm a bit skeptical about the element about saying no to stuff and being selfish about it. I don't know how you feel about this, but I think there is a little bit of a trend at the moment for people to be very insular, and obviously the lockdown has made that happen a lot. But I think people now like to use the excuse of, well, I've just got to put boundaries and say no. And I think there's a real difference between having personal boundaries when you need them versus being selfish and just not turning up for friends, not thinking outside of your own small existence. And maybe mental habits are quite a good thing to get a check on. I struggle with that a lot, concentration and mind chatter and that kind of thing. And recently I thought, God, it would be just really good for you to think outside of your own small world for a little bit. And I know, I think of other people, whether it's volunteering or whatever, but I think that we can definitely get very absorbed in ourselves in a self-carey way.
Yeah, totally. I can see that. I don't know that I've really thought about it in exactly those terms before. Something that has struck me about self-care and boundaries specifically is, and I think this is why they say you should do it, I think I might put myself at a disadvantage if I say no to too many things. I like to take opportunities, so I like to say yes to stuff. But I think that's why they tell you to put the boundaries there for the person like me who's going to say yes to too many things.
Yeah, but I think that's our self-employed actor mentality over a certain amount of years, which is really hard to shake because you don't want to say no to opportunities. I think also, saying yes to lots and lots of stuff is an amazing attitude to have as well. And I think there's a real benefit in going, do you know what, I'm actually going to really throw myself into things that potentially make me a little bit uncomfortable or things that I don't initially want to do. And there's a positive in that too. But I think probably the lesson that we're all meant to have learned, and I'm still need to learn a little bit more, is being able to say no when you really need to and to not feel like you're letting everyone down. But there is a difference between that and just not being selfish about it, I think.
Yeah, not showing up for people who do need you. Yeah. I suppose that's about having your priorities in order, I suppose.
And as much as staying in and having a bath and moisturising and having alone time and having a really quiet night is so healthy for you, equally so is socialising and getting energy from others. I mean, there's nothing like a lockdown to make you value socializing and the energy of being around big groups of people. I miss that so much, and I miss plans and events and things to be excited for. That is something that makes me really happy. And I suppose this year has made me realize how happy that makes me and how much I like being around people.
I hear you, buddy. Yeah, it's big. Well, tell me more about the being around people or events or anything that makes you happy.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm just liking, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, imagine just being in a festival, surrounded by people, bustling up against each other, maybe queuing at a bar and being a bit annoyed because the service is bad and you're going to get a flat gin and tonic or whatever. And the sun is shining, there's a faint smell of sun cream. And music, live music, I think it's about atmosphere that I'm missing. I really love, and it really makes me happy, being in bars with great atmosphere or streets, markets, cities. I think that's what I've really noticed has been sucked out of the world at the minute is atmosphere. Obviously, all the shops are shut and stuff, but just like walking down the streets, you're not getting any of that buzz. And that's quite depressing, I think. I love London for that. I love the atmosphere of London. So that's what I'm excited for. I'm excited to feel that again. It's going to come back. I mean, I can already feel it, but I think it's interesting to pinpoint. It's not necessarily going out all the time. It's just feeling that you're somewhere that's alive. Whereas at the moment, it feels like we're somewhere that's very, very shut down. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I've been staying, as you know, in the country for the last 3 months. And at first, the expanse of woods and hills and walks that were available to me, and I could walk and walk and just see maybe a couple of dog walkers, but really it was all there for me to explore, and it was just lovely. And then after a couple months of doing that, I have started to get really excited walking around the village and seeing other actual human beings and coming up their actual houses, maybe a couple of people playing tennis or something. That atmosphere reminds you that you exist
definitely
somehow.
And it's funny because I really value countryside and nature, and at the beginning of the lockdown I did a similar thing, and I was with my parents who live a bit more countryside. They're quite near the Peak District, so there were incredible walks, and at that time was so grateful for the countryside. So I think a balance of both. Nature is something that can massively affect my mood and make me happy. And at the moment, with it becoming all springy and starting to notice those little changes in the season, having that awareness of nature, definitely makes me happy. But I think what feeds my excitement and my soul is cities that are vibrant, and the opportunity to just at any time of night go and get a particular type of food or something that surprises you, and feeling like you're in the center of things. I need to feel like I'm not missing out, and that is partly being somewhere which is exciting and vibrant, and cities really. There's a wider element of like community and being around people. I remember when I was at uni, I loved the fact that in Bristol, because it's quite a small city, or also when we were studying together in Oxford, you could walk around and bump into people that you knew, and it very much felt like a sense of community. And same with my work at the moment, that it's really important for me to feel being around people that I have a sense of community, even if it's just small talk. The isolation of this year, definitely that's something that I've pinpointed. I need that. I really, really need that.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you going back to the city for this summer? Where are you going to be?
I probably will be back in London. I mean, I'll be zooming up and down between the north and south, as I have been doing before. I mean, it's all just so unknown at the moment. Travel, obviously, when that is a possibility again, and just, I suppose, having things to look forward to. But on the other hand, talking about things that we've had to learn to find happiness in this year is, I suppose, the domesticity of everything, making everything nice and cozy, joy in like lovely food, joy in reading books and sitting down and being quiet, or phone conversations with friends, like this kind of thing, this kind of communication. And I've had long rambling walks with people where we've set the world to rights. That's a really special thing to remember, the simplicity of those relationships and stuff when everything does get shut down, that you can keep that communication up.
Totally. I think that you're speaking here to balance, when we were reflecting on self-help or taking time for yourself. I think if you were in a really hectic space where there wasn't lockdown and you had a thousand things in your diary, then you'd be saying, gosh, you know, what really makes me happy is a night in with a bath. Like, that's wonderful. And just the space that we're in at the moment, and you're going, gosh, it would be so nice if I was out in a community.
I'm just desperate for things with people. You can hear it. I'm like, you can hear it. I am, oh man. But also I think it's a really particular time to talk about what makes us happy, yeah, what we don't have. I mean, get me in the pub.
I know. Do you know what though? Something I remember makes you happy and that I want to ask you about specifically is music.
Yeah, of course. I think music feels like it's a massive part of what makes me happy just on a day-to-day basis, whether it is listening to it, writing it and performing it and creating it with other people, going to see it live or sharing it. You know, I just don't think there's anything better than sharing music with people, fighting over a playlist, who's going to put something on a speaker, and that amazing thing at a wedding when, or a night out when a particular song comes on, it's just such a powerful thing. Obviously I do rely on it quite a lot for my own happiness, but interestingly at times when I've found that I'm, you know, having a bit of a hard time or whatever, I've started to steer away from music and be listening to podcasts or audiobooks and stuff like that, almost to, I don't know why, maybe it's to drown out chatter in my own brain. But generally, I think there's not anything more joyful than discovering a piece of music that you just love and then listening to it, and maybe on the second or the third listen, or a band that you love. It's a quite special thing. And obviously, creating it with people, making music with
others. Which you
others,
do so well.
Being in that kind of flow together, playing live, creating a playlist is the best, isn't it?
I mean, you are extremely good at it. It is a privilege to
just wait
to watch you do it.
Next DJ the playlist. Oh God, I've had a long time to curate these, honestly. Just wait. But I think as well, on that note, another thing that's really special, and it doesn't happen very often, and maybe you find this with work, because obviously we do creative jobs, and it's just really nice to talk about the happiness of the work that we do and the joy that we get out of it, because that is something that we have a real privilege in, that we've both gone into fields where we get a lot of joy from our day-to-day work, whether it's with music or acting or being in a kind of creative flow, and that feeling when it feels easy to create with other people. And it doesn't happen that often, to be honest. A lot of the time it's tough and it's a lot of negotiation, but when it does work, when you feel inspired and excited by a project, it's just the best. And I feel lucky about that. I feel really lucky about the fact that my career is something that I would do for free and have done a lot for free.
Yes, to say.
Yeah, that's something that makes me happy, that I would want to be doing this any day, every day.
Anyway, yeah. You're right. That's a huge thing that a lot of people don't have. And we are very lucky to, and have worked hard to have created opportunities to make things. And yeah, that ensemble vibe you're talking about, getting a bunch of people in a room and everybody working towards making something.
You can get that on your own as well.
It's a good feeling.
Lovely creative flow thing. I'm sure you have it when you write. I think it is quite rare, but those times when you feel like the creativity is overtaking you and that it does feel easy and that you're in the zone so much and a project's kind of taken off, it's exciting, isn't it?
It is. It's, yeah, it's very exciting. It's very exciting. So I write poems. And when I get to a stage where I'm really pleased with the poem, I find myself reading it over and over again out loud. And that's I get really proud of myself and really chuffed about how it's going to sound when it's read aloud at the event that I've written before. And I just read it over and over. So yeah, really enjoying what we've made.
For somebody. I think, you know, like, God, I don't know why I'm being all like, oh, artist, creativity. But I'm just thinking about the pure happiness that comes from finishing something and from actually doing it, creating something for someone like you do with the poetry that is so special and so personal and that only you could have made. And I think a hell of a lot of joy comes from that. It feels like you're putting a little stamp, leaving a little something out there in the world that's purely yours, that no one else could have created. And that's yeah, narcissism and legacy, but also it's just quite nice, isn't it? It's quite nice to have finished a bloody song, or to have actually gone, God, I've had this idea and I've made an idea the reality. That's what's nice about it, especially when you're doing it with people. It's an ensemble kind of work, and managing to get through that process of negotiation, whether it's a script or whatever, and actually seeing a finished product is so satisfying. And it's so difficult to get to that point. It really is. And it's so difficult to get any work made or anything, but it's like the satisfaction, and like you say, the pride is a really lovely thing. So projects maybe is what I'm saying makes me happy. Finishing projects.
Fair. Finishing projects. Oh, woohoo! Are we finished with this project, or is there anything else that makes you happy, Olivia?
There's so much that makes me happy. Dogs.
Okay, tell me more.
I don't know if I need to expand any more on that, to be honest, Lizzie. But let's just say my mum and dad's chocolate Labrador provides an extraordinary amount of joy. Just good people, good friends. Oh, I mean, alcohol. God, I'm just literally scanning my brain. Dog. Wine. I actually had this conversation with my sister recently, which was that we're all chasing that feeling of being at the end of your first pint or your first glass of wine, and you're all sitting down and you're just, I don't know, first starting to feel that buzz. Maybe it's getting a bit giggly or whatever. Forever, everybody's just chasing that feeling. That's what she said. And I thought, yeah, she's right. She's completely right. Because it never gets better than that, no matter how many drinks you have. So that's another thing that makes me feel happy. Yeah. Two-thirds of a way down a pint. It's such a lockdown-themed list of things. It couldn't be more pub-based. I'm just desperate. No, let's be more serious. What about when you're so involved in, say, a book or a film or a TV series or anything, and you feel like you know the characters and you just feel like it's part of your world and it just takes you away? I mean, that is, to be able to escape into a story like that, I think that's something that makes me very happy.
Yeah, I've gotten really into lots of TV series, getting into characters and getting into stories and losing ourselves sometimes in not very highbrow or not even very genuinely entertaining TV series, sometimes just have something on the screen in front of you.
Generally obsessed, probably like the whole of the world, with Married at First Sight Australia. and I just didn't think I was going to be that bothered, and I was so invested. Reality TV has just been a saviour for me this year, so yeah, that makes me happy. But good. Agree, just disappearing into other people's lives is such a, maybe that's why I'm in a soap. Maybe disappearing into other people's traumatic and dramatic lives is what makes me happy. Because frankly, it's pretty boring right now, isn't it?
Poetry, Olivia. Yes. We want drama. Give us drama. Oh man. Well, shall we leave it there? Because that's beautiful and I love it.
I mean, I just can't even remember what I've said. But to be honest, it's just nice to talk, isn't it? Like we said. One of the things
I think
man in a really good jumper. I can expand on that if you want.
I want to know about a man in a really good jumper.
And or a really good t-shirt. Just men in nice fitting clothes, basically.
Jeans or just the top half?
To be honest. Shoulders.
Our listeners will want to know what kind of lovely jumper or top is your particular favourite.
Right, are we talking a roll neck, a chunky knit, a t-shirt, a really nicely fitted t-shirt falling off the shoulder blades? I'm sounding a little bit creepy now, I'm going to stop, but also lovely coats and winter clothes. Winter clothes are better, aren't they? Women and men, like
there's just more
scarves and hats and like coziness and hugger or whatever it's called. Is it called Haig?
Haig.
Calling hugger to try and be very authentic and correct, but maybe it's Haig.
No. If I've just read the words. If you've consciously gone authentic and correct, I'm definitely going to go with you. You must be
hugger,
right.
Whatever. And, you know, we were talking about atmosphere, like ambience. ambiance. Mm-hmm. I think that's another really important thing for happiness. And this seems melodramatic, but if you go into a restaurant or a bar or even, I don't know, a house and the lighting is bad, no. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. It makes a genuine difference to your mood. That difference between warm light and cold light is a real thing, isn't it?
I think what we were talking about, the domesticity, and this year that's obviously been really important, of everybody hunkering down and being cozy and hygge and little cozy small things, nice lighting, good candles, just making a home space safe. I think having somewhere really, really safe to come back to. I know both of us this year have had time in between houses and all over the place, really.
Yeah.
I think it made me realise the importance of home. That's, a really important thing for happiness. I think it's just feeling rooted and grounded somewhere. And somewhere with a nice rug and a throne.
Yeah.
Okay, interior design, another thing that makes me happy. Obsessed with Pinterest, there we go.
Oh really? Do you have a Pinterest
in
your new place?
I'm just being very poor at ordering and making any decisions, but of course I'm just consistently on Instagram and Pinterest looking at cushions at the minute. It's a good distraction, but yeah, that's fun. It's a nice nest, like we were talking about.
Absolutely. That's really fun. Well, good luck with your nest.
Well, I don't want to be nesting. I want to be in the pub. I've told you. I want some hedonism.
I know, you're right. Yeah, okay.
Buying rugs, but hey ho. Okay.
You're going to do both.
Yeah.
Olivia, it's balance.
And you'll join me, right?
Absolutely, I will. I can't wait. I'm very excited. I'll bring you a cushion
and I'll drag you
welcoming
to a
present.
For a warm gin and tonic.
Yes.
And a plastic cup.
Deal.
Thank you, Liv. Listening to that conversation gives me a lot to think about as we play with life after lockdown. Going to a festival would be something, wouldn't it? Olivia, of course, plays Dawn on Emmerdale, so tune in weekdays and watch her being excellent. You can also find her on Instagram and Twitter. I've put her handles in this episode description. There's also a link to my poetry site In Your Own Words there too. Friends, this week, I wish you that buzz that you'll feel 2/3 of the way down a pint. Or, whatever makes you happy.